Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful week or weekend. If you're not, my heart goes out to you and your family and whatever you may be going through right now. And as always, you can send me a prayer request through email or Facebook, if you're on my Facebook account, or if you want to be added on to my Facebook account, make sure you just, as I always state, is make sure you, in the Facebook message, that you put Wake Up America Church Ministries and kind of the subtitle there, and that you are listening and you want to be added to the Facebook. I'm very selective who I add to my Facebook account, because there's just so much out there. Facebook is a I've got plenty of threats through Facebook, so Facebook can be a hostile environment. So I'm very selective who I add on to. I get friend requests all the time. I don't select them unless I know the person. Now, they may have listened to this website, but if they're just going to send me a friend request and no message behind it, I don't normally, I just delete them. Unless I know them personally, if I met them face to face. But if you're part of my Facebook, you know, if you want to be, just send me a private message with the Wake Up America Church Ministry. Just in like the subject heading, and if you want to write something else there, the specific on the prayer request, I will add you to my prayer list that I pray over. You don't have to be specific in your needs, but I truly believe in the power of prayer. And this ain't what the sermon's about, but it really irritates me when people say they're going to pray for you and they don't. Now, that's between them and God, and that's that is a serious offense there, guys. So be careful how we use our words. Don't say idle things and don't go do it. I will not say nothing at all. There is no point of saying I'm going to pray for you. You don't do it. What's the point? You don't even need to say that. It's a lie. It's a, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. It wasn't part of the original message, but obviously somebody needs to hear that. Take heed. If you follow this ministry, you know I do not tread lightly over subjects. I hit you straight in the... I'm a straight hitter. I believe that's how Jesus Christ did it. When I read through the Gospels, that's how... Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus didn't play games, guys. And you got all these pastors and these televangelists, and they're playing games. And there's strict warnings in the Bible for men like that. They're held double accountable. All I can say of them doing that is the devil has them blinded very, very... They're deluded. They're delusional. They have let the god of this world, Satan, blind them, and they will have their reward. And that breaks my heart. Because I don't want nobody to go to hell. I don't want nobody to have to experience that everlasting torment. And we pray that they open their eyes to the truth of the gospel before it's too late. But with all that said and done, we'll be in John 8:12. And this 8:12 is kind of, it's a springboard scripture, and they'll lead us to a bunch of other scriptures. The title of this message is Keep Christ in Christmas, because he is the ultimate light of the world. And if you're taking notes, just you can jot down John 8:12, that title, Keep Christ in Christmas. Those six letters of Christmas are very important. That's Christ. because he is the ultimate light of the world, and that is pretty much the thrust of this sermon. It is the take home of this sermon is to recognize that light, and that light that's in us. And as we are very close to Christmas, and Heather and I will be leaving today, and we will be going to see my mom in Natchitoches, so I'll probably won't be doing another sermon on this our Bible studies till next year. And I know I'm still working on that seventh part of the spiritual warfare series that we're going through. Hopefully that you're going back and you look in those about 6 hours of spiritual warfare series there. And also I have Bible studies on here on spiritual warfare, and if you go to the archives, I have probably 14 to 20 hours of previous sermons on spiritual warfare. I believe deeply in spiritual warfare, and that us recognizing that we are in a spiritual battle every day. But as Christmas rolls around, and you know, Christmas time is it's a time, and now regardless how you hear those people out there saying, hey, you know, Christians shouldn't be celebrating Christmas for it is a pagan holiday. I've heard every angle of the debate, and this is how I handle it without going deep into it. And I can defend why it's important for us to celebrate Christmas. I'm not going to go into that right now. Now, if you have questions, please, you can email me. That's the point of this ministry, and the email is email me. And if you do email me, make sure you put Wake Up America Church Ministry in the email, so if it goes to spam, I can pick it up. And if you have any questions about it, but regardless of how you want to view Christmas, if you're convicted not to celebrate it, then don't. But you need to understand all these arguments out there that are not firmly based on scripture, and trying to say that Christmas is a pagan holiday. Now, I know at this point in time, somebody's listening, they may get upset. And I'm not trying to upset you on this point. I'm simply saying you're convicted, don't celebrate it. But when you're looking at other people celebrating, look at their motives. If they're taking Christmas as a time, a opportunity to, you know, because people around this time of the year are more open to hearing about Jesus. I know, because I've witnessed quite a few every month around this time. I can give out tracts, and people are more likely to take them, and other things around this time of the year, and maybe you can experience that. And if you're not doing that, then you probably need to examine your life and recognize you need to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and taking that opportunity to go out there and to reach them, and doing through tracts or wherever you want to. There's all kind of tracts that you can hand out. What I got for this year was a candy cane tract about the candy cane and how you can relate that to Christ. And that's such a beautiful one. You can actually go online, you can type in the candy cane witnessing, and that will give you that kind of how you were just looking at a simple candy cane can be a witnessing tool. But your convictions, if you're convicted, I understand that. Don't do it. But to sit there and go with the world's take on it being a pagan holiday or whatever, we need to be careful on that. And that's really all I'm going to leave with that part. But here I want to kind of swing into that opportunity this time of the year. And of course, we celebrate Christ's birth all throughout the year, not one day. That's why I'm saying look at people's motives. Are they using this time as an opportunity, as an evangelistic opportunity to reach those around, those with this world with Christ? We have an awesome opportunity to do that. And are you doing that this year? Look, I don't know what you're doing, but you can reflect on what you're doing. How many people have you witnessed to last week or 2 weeks? Or how have you been a light to this world? We are supposed to be, as children of God, lights of this world. Let's pray and we'll get into scripture. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray that you guide and you direct this sermon as you see fit. Lord, you know those that are experiencing the valleys during this time of the year. You know those that are experiencing a storm in their life right now. God, we pray over them. I don't know their situation by name or detailed, but you do. If they're listening to this, Lord, we lift them up, and that we lift them up in your holy and beautiful name, that they will have that peace and that joy to look beyond their pain and their suffering, to firmly look past all that and place their eyes on Jesus Christ, the ultimate light, the ultimate hope, the ultimate joy, the ultimate peace. This world has a substitute for Satan, disguises himself as an angel of light. He mimics that what is of God, but it's a cheap imitation. It will leave us empty every time. But when we truly get past ourselves and we wrap ourselves in the arms of our Lord, in his peace, in his joy, in his love, we see beyond everything and we rest in his embrace. Lord, I pray as those are going out to the, you know, vacation or whatever they may be doing, or just going regularly just to town, that you, if the traffic is chaotic, Lord, we pray over we pray for their safety and their security as they travel back and forth, and that the angels just guard over them as they go in and out, and that their hearts are open to reach those with the gospel, to slow down and look around to those that are truly hurting. For we are supposed to be a light of this world, but we can get in the way and we can temper that light, Lord. Oh Lord, I pray that we just get rid of the excess of our that surrounding and that's dampering our light, so our light can shine bright. Oh Lord, shed that away so our light can shine. The Holy Spirit can move through us. That we don't rely on our own strength or our own source of reaching joy and how we try to logically try to put stuff together. Oh Lord, let us get past ourselves and look at truly your hand in motion. We can cloud our thoughts with the worries of this world and the anxiety of this world, the depression of this world, the hopelessness of this world. But as the children of God, we can look beyond that because we have the Holy Spirit living in each and every one of us that gives us the strength to get beyond ourselves and focus our eyes on the one true living God. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. John 8:12 says this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. And he that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Man, I just love, I love scripture, guys. I love God's word. I pray that you are too. And if you're following this ministry, you will love God's word. You will love his truth. You know, and when I think of that word here, he said, "I am the light of the world." You know, I'm always looking for opportunities to reach somebody with the gospel. You know, in this time of the year, people are, well, not all, but, you know, are putting up Christmas lights. And there's nothing wrong with putting up Christmas lights. And you, and some of you guys may have already went and saw Christmas lights, like I drive through, and here we, in, you know, Leesville, we have drive through areas you can go through. And Heather and I, Lord willing, will be going through one in Natchitoches. And you know, and that's lights, right? We're fascinated. Well, not everybody, but you know, lights, we're kind of drawn to that light. You know, you see Christmas lights and you're like, wow, those are pretty. And I know there's some like, bah humbug, I don't care about lights. Or you don't care about the Christmas, anything Christmas. I get that too. But here's the thing, when we use light, we look at Christmas lights, we can use that as an opportunity to reach somebody with the gospel. Light and darkness is clearly seen throughout scripture, right? So light and darkness, they're clearly contrast through scripture. So when we look at Christmas lights, and if we're looking in and we're around somebody, or we're around family, or we're around friends, or we're out about walking through, you know, a area where they have a bunch of Christmas lights, you know, festival, and we come across somebody, it's an opportunity to say, you know, that those are pretty, but there's a ultimate light. His name is Jesus Christ. There's no beautiful, there's no physical light that can compare to the light that Jesus Christ is of this world. You know, if you, and here's an interesting thought, you know, when we, I guess the ultimate light that you probably can think of is the sun, and physically, right? The sun is bright. You're driving down the road, the sun hits you straight in the eyes. You know, you have to put the visor down or put some glasses on to, that light is so bright, it'll blind you. But do you know one day when we are in the new heaven and the new earth, we will have no need for the sun, because God will be that ultimate light. Revelations 21:23 says, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Wow. That's bright, guys. There will be no need for sun, and there will be no need for the moon. Why? Because the glory of God will lighten that city, and that Lamb is light thereof. That's pointing to that perfect Lamb of God, right? That is pointing to when Mary and Joseph and in that manger, and that baby that was born, that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that Lamb, that perfect Lamb, that perfect light. Shine. Come down to us. I just love that. I love reading the you know, Luke's account of the Christmas narrative of and it's beautiful. I can't help but think of that song, and you guys may have heard it, is Mary Did You Know. Some of the lyrics are this, is Mary Did You Know That Your Baby Boy Would One Day Walk On Water. Mary Did You Know That Your Baby Boy Would Save Our Sons And Daughters. Did You Know Your Baby Boy Has Come To Make You New. Child That You Deliver Will Soon Deliver You. Mary, do you know your baby boy will give sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hands? I want to tell you, if you're going through a storm in life today, oh, our God can calm that. He can give you that peace and that strength. Oh, and he said, do you know that your baby boy will walk where angels trot when you kiss your little baby? You kiss the face of God. Think about that, Gus. That baby boy, the light of the world, the ultimate light. John 8:12, right? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And he says, he that follows me, and when you look at this word, and this is just how the Greek and English is, in Greek is, if you look at Greek, Greek is a better language, is more perfect language than English. So when you try to go to Greek to English, is it messes it up basically. But that's what we have. We have English. But here, when we look at he, this is referring to he or she. Some people are like, oh, that, you know, the Bible's so masculine. But we gotta understand, from Greek to English is not a perfect translation. So, he or she, or you say, those that follow me, that follow Jesus, shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. There's that contrast here, that darkness and light. And we know that darkness is Satan. And we know that light is Jesus Christ. And those are the two paths that we have to choose, light or darkness. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He that follow me shall not walk. So when we following Jesus, we do not walk in the darkness, but in light. John 3:16-21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have what everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believe on him is not condemned, because he has not believed in the... Oop, I was getting a phone call there. I don't think it's anybody important though. Where was that? 17. For God sent his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that do evil hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. But he that do truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest. They are wroth in God. They are pointing to God. We need to not just look at John 3:16 and stop there. That is a issue. We need to look at all these verses, because it's all about context. We look at what God has done for this world, that is to send His Son, His only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world, that perfect Lamb, that ultimate light. And those that will believe in that, believe in the birth, right? To believe in the death, that crucifixion on the cross, to believe in the resurrection, He rose from the dead, and believe He's coming back one day. God presents this to each and every one of us. It started with that precious baby in the manger. Making it accessible for you and me today. We do not have to sacrifice a physical animal as they did in the Leviticus times. All of that was pointing to the ultimate Lamb, the Lamb of God that takes the sins of the world away, as John the Baptist strongly proclaimed, and as we should strongly proclaim. For that word sin seems to be it wants to be avoided. They don't want to talk about sin. But I want to tell you, we have to understand our sin nature. We have to understand what happened at the Garden of Eden. That perfect garden that God created, and He placed a man and a woman, male and female, created Him. Oh, how this world wants to divert that simple truth. I want to tell you that when we go against the biology that the Bible clearly points to, God will rip a nation into pieces. If America keeps doing what she is doing, she will be ripped. It's already started. And they keep progressing. And as they keep on progressing, America will not get no better. She will get worse and worse and worse. And the sad thing is, they will think it's getting better and better. And those that strongly proclaim the gospel will become enemies of the state. And we will be fined, imprisoned. And those that that will not choose to do that, they will choose to compromise, and that will say, you know what, that's really not what God's word said, and they will, and there will be many that will do this. They will change the truth of the gospel into a lie. But one simple truth that you can do with any church you go to, ask the pastor one simple question. What is his view on homosexuality? If you're going to a new church, if you can't talk to the pastor, then are you know, I know bigger churches, mega churches, the people are probably a lot more busy, but they can schedule you in to talk with the pastor. Ask him a question. What is your view on homosexuality? If he stutters and he's trying to get around it and he's trying to bypass it, the man is not a man of God, and he needs to step away from that church. Because one simple truth is marriage between a man and a woman. God created man and woman. But God created this perfect garden. He placed man and woman there to take care of it, to have children. But what happens? There in Genesis 3, we can read from 1 to 7 how the serpent, and you can interpret that as Satan, or you can view that as Satan using the serpent. Regardless how you want to view that, it doesn't matter. What happened was deception. This is representing Satan. He is a liar. He is a deceiver. He's still working his deception on this world, and he will work his deception to the very end of time on this world. For he is a father of lies. And Father, from the very beginning, pointing to Genesis, He is darkness. Within him is no light. He corrupts what God calls good. The marriage between a man and woman was perfect and God called it good. And they were married, meaning they did not have sex until they were married, until they were joined by God. God was the ultimate. He married them. But oh, how we void that concept and we don't want to talk about it in our church because it's we don't want to offend nobody. I want to tell you, because we have not stand on God's truth, the churches are suffering. There is a new gospel, another gospel that is taking over the true gospel of God. It is not a gospel of light, although it masquerades around as a gospel of light, is a gospel of darkness, is a gospel that Satan has implanted in the church, and we are supposed to stand up and say, no, that is not what God's words say. This is what God's words say, and we're just looking at that one concept of homosexuality, man and a woman. We can say God is clearly pointing to scripture that marriage between a man and a woman and anything else is not right, is a sin to God, and we stand up on that. We stand up as any other sin, but we point that one out too. We're not okay with our sin. Why would we be okay with somebody else's? But they that want to keep on practicing their sinful lifestyle, they are not accepting the truth, the light of the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? But those that don't believe in that, that want to accept that sin in their life, don't. When we look at believe, you can look, it's all through this. But to believe is the center of the gospel, right? To believe is simply putting faith, to put your faith in God. Knowing that God's word is true, regardless, if you cannot even explain everything. Regardless what you may be going through in your life, you may not understand why you're going through something, but stand firm, brother. Stand firm, sister, in his truth, for it is a foundation that if you lay it, you may not understand while you're experiencing this thing in your life, but you know that God will follow through one way or the other. Job said, even though he slay me, I will still praise him, I'll still worship him. Even though he slay me, we have to have this mentality that God is still faithful regardless of what's going on in our life. Everything could be falling apart, but God is still in control and he is still sovereign. He understands what's going on. I may not understand what's going on. I play my faith, I believe in what he has done so far and what he will do until the very end. And oh, how this life is only temporary. And oh, one day we will not have to worry about this life, for all our sorrows will be gone, for all our tears will be gone, for all our pain will be gone. Oh, our eyes have not seen, our ears have heard what God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, he has created something for us that we can't even imagine. And when we get beyond ourselves and we recognize that he has something for us, and yes, the things that we're going through this life hurts and is painful, we keep pressing on. We keep pursuing that ministry that he has laid in our hearts. We keep pursuing that he has what he has. We believe, we have that faith, that perseverance to carry on. And I pray that you have that perseverance in your heart, because times will get worse than what it is right now for America. I don't claim to be no prophet. I just love God's word. But America has to fall. for she is too far gone. Whatever that may look like, I don't know. But it's the desperation when everything is taken away that people truly start coming to God. For those that are imposters throughout our churches will disappear, and those that truly love God with everything they got. For I do not worry about quantity. I worry about quality. Well, not really worry, but quality is what I'm looking for. Somebody where their heartbeat is truly for God. That truly wants to shine. To this world. Matthew 5:14-16 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is on set on an hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but of a candlestick. And he given light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men." And here, when you look at men, it's talking about humanity, it's talking about the world. "That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus Christ, the master illustrator. He says his children should be the light of the world. Because we have the ultimate light living in us. The Holy Spirit. He has placed that in every one of us. He says a city on a hill yet cannot be hid. A city that is lit up on a hill. I love just thinking about a hill with a bright city on it. And those down looking above, they see the bright lights and they're like, "What is going on in that city? Why is it so bright and I'm surrounded by darkness? What is going on?" We are supposed to be cities on a hill that people want to come and see. What do you got that is different from what I have? Are they coming to you and asking you that? And it speaks of this candle. Placing it under a bushel or a bucket, right? You know, if you take a candle and you cover it up, you put a bucket over it, what happens? There is no light coming. You cannot see that light. Also, with that bucket over it, it can put out that light because the oxygen and to keep it going, so it can snuff that light out. But we can let this world damper our light. But Jesus says, put it on a candlestick. It will give light to the house. It will give light to the house. Oh, our houses should be shining so brightly before this world that they see that we are different. That the works that we're doing is glorifying not the God of this world, which is Satan, but that of the Father, which is in heaven. Oh, how our light should shine brighter than our career choices. And now your career may be a evangelist. Your career may be a pastor. I don't know. I'm talking about this secular world, this our jobs, how they can engulf us, how they can grab us, how they can suck the life out of us, how they can drag us to the pit. Oh, we should not let that, because they can. Oh, we should not let the job that we have, our secular job, drain our life force. Oh, we should be bright within. If you want to be in a part of upper management, let your light shine. Let people know who you are. Oh, how you should not compromise who you are for Christ. Oh, you should not hold your tongue when you should witness to those around us. If you are, you need to step down because your light is being dampened by this world. We are supposed to be the light are you? That is the question I want to kind of leave you guys with. Are you being the light of this world? Are you letting this world temper your light? In closing, remember the title, Keep Christ in Christmas, because He is the ultimate light of the world. During this time of the year, and we're supposed to carry that on to next year, right? We have an awesome opportunity as children of God to let our light shine among this world. We can use opportunities such as Christmas lights to do that. Those lights are beautiful, but I want to tell you what is more beautiful, right? I want to tell you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, right? That leaves us an opportunity, Lord, to go into the gospel, to shed the light on the situation that that person may be going through. Will some be resistant? Yes. For light and darkness don't mingle. There is that contrast, light and darkness. But we are supposed to be light. And those that are in darkness will come to the light, or they will run from the light. Two paths, right? John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's everlasting life. We are supposed to be pursuing those with the gospel every day, every week. Are you? Are you letting this world drag you down? Dampering your light. Oh, Satan is smart, I promise you. You don't believe me? Flip over to Genesis 3. Read 1 through 7. Adam and Eve. Eve. Adam was right there with her. I believe that, and I said this multiple times, and I can't really confirm it, but God created Adam and Eve, and He called everything good, so it was perfect. So while I consume that, their intelligence was beyond what you could ever imagine. They were smarter than any person out there today. You can take the greatest mind that you can think of. You can think of Albert Einstein. You can think of whoever you want. Who you may think of. They didn't even hold a candlestick to the intelligence of Adam and Eve. But what happens? They allow themselves to be deceived. Eve in the deception, right? Adam, open rebellion. They both sinned against God. And they were highly intelligent, I believe, because God created them good. He created everything. It was perfect. They were supposed to live forever. You get that? They were living in a perfect garden. All their needs were met. And they were going to live forever. But they allowed themselves to be under the influence. Well, Eve was allowing herself to be under the influence, and what we can believe about Adam, he was open rebellion against God for whatever reason. He wouldn't ride along with his wife. He was not being that spiritual leader in his home. Say no. Drop that. And that's when sin comes into this world. So Satan is a master deceiver. Never think that he is not. And he is the ultimate darkness that has hold on this world, and it's only through the light that's in us, right? The Holy Spirit that's in us, that we know we can decipher through that deception. We can decipher through that darkness. But if you're letting the world creep into your life, you're letting your work control. Here is why I always say, and this is convicting, and this what it is, and you a week, at least 40 hours a week with the gospel, the prayer and the reading and the studying. Like, oh, I can't do that. I work 40 hours a week, guys, and I achieve that almost every week, and I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you it can be done. So don't tell me it cannot be done, and then you're wondering why you are deceived by Satan. You're allowing yourself, as Eve, to be under deception. I know that's hard. You don't want to take that. And when you're allowing yourself to be under deception, you are dampening the light. And your mind is being clouded by the things of this world. And you don't want to heed those that God placed in your path to warn you, because you think you already know it, but you're not even dedicated. I don't see what you're doing in your prayer life. I do not see what you're doing as you're studying God's word, but God knows. And that should right there should rattle you. That should convict you, that God knows. You may be able to hide it from me, but you're not hiding it from God. And one day he will call you out on it, and you are not going to hurt me, because I will warn those until my last breath, until they throw me in prison, until they take my life, until whatever they do, I will warn. I will may not be very popular in America preaching this gospel. And I'll tell you, many preachers today, many pastors today, many evangelists today, they will not stand on God's truth, and they will not tell. We need application in our life. We need to quit saying we're doing things and pretending that we are doing them and we're not, for God sees it and he is not happy with that. And if you're not convicted by the Holy Spirit, you're not chastened by the Holy Spirit, you're not scourged by the Holy Spirit, you are not a child of God. That is Hebrews 12 that tells us he scourges and he chastens those that he loves, and those that he don't, you don't. So you should feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit when you say something that you're not doing, because why? You are lying to the Holy Spirit. If you tell somebody you're doing something, I'm going to pray for you, and you don't do it, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. What is wrong with you? Oh, how you allow the world to come into your life, and at the most, you're not even a child of God. If you're not a child of God, if your soul is required of you tonight, you will go to hell, or today, you will burn in everlasting torment. I'll tell you, stop that. You do not have to do that. You do not have to go to this place of torment, this ultimate darkness. To be that light. We get away from this world. We do not let this world, we do not conform to this world. We do not let the darkness of this world creep into our lives. We say no. We saturate ourselves in God's word. We saturate our life in God's prayer. We pray and we fast if we need to, and we seek God's fellowship, and we reach those physically around us. We go to Having where we seek fellowship physically with our brothers and sisters is amazing. How many people are just, they're going beyond, they don't want to have that fellowship with their brothers and sisters. They'd rather stay home and pretend they're having church at home. I'll tell you, if you're having church at home, amen, that means you're doing the praise and worship at home, and you're doing the studying of God's word, and you are studying his word at least, you know, 4 hours that day on Sunday. But you're like, I really go do this because it pleases me. I really go and hang out here. You got problems. You're being deceived. Stop it. Look at your life. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know how your prayer life looks. I don't know how your studying God's word looks. You do. You may hear this message and say, hey, I could care less. This guy's out of his mind. He's off his rocker. I'm in good company. I imagine they said that about Jesus. I imagine they said that about the prophets. I imagine they said that about Peter, Paul, and the apostles, minus Judas, the 12 chosen apostles, and then, out of their minds. Acts tells us, and he says, these guys have turned the world upside down. Give us them. They were out of their minds. They were viewed. You go back to Genesis, you think of Noah. I'm pretty sure a lot of them thought he was out of his mind. Building this ark, this big, huge boat, when it has not rained. And preaching righteousness and repentance, right? You hear the message. I'm not responsible for you receiving it. I'm just responsible for giving it to you. And I pray that each and every one of you heed what God has spoken today through his word to each and every one of your hearts. If you're still breathing air and you're still alive, you can make a change. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come to you, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this message, and I know it will reach whoever it needs to reach. This ministry small in my perspective, but it's huge in your perspective. If one person hears this and they are influenced to turn from what they're doing, they may not have heard messages like this, because majority of churches today here in America, they don't stand firmly on God's word. They are compromising at a rate that is so fast. It breaks my heart. God, I pray that we seek opportunities to be the light around those that are desperately looking for something different. They're engulfed in darkness. They're feeling the hopelessness, the desperation. See, we are not supposed to be hopeless, and we should not despair like this world, and we should not lose our peace, for our peace comes from the Lord. Within those storms, there should be a calm about us. If there is not a calm about us, there's something in our life that's astray, that's causing us to not be calm. Let's examine ourselves. Let's seek you desperately through prayer, for that deep examination of our heart and those around us. Let's seek you through scripture, your word. Pray for your guidance throughout the remaining of this year and throughout the next year, Lord. Give us strength for what's coming in 2023. We haven't seen nothing yet. Times are coming at a rapid pace. The faster we turn from your truth to our truths, another gospel, a gospel that Satan has polluted, that does not speak of the real truth of the gospel, does not preach on the truth between the importance between a marriage between a man and a woman. Truth that sex is designed for marriage and not outside of marriage. And the list goes on and on. Lord, we pray that you raise men, that truly, men and women truly, on fire for God, to stand against the lies that Satan has infiltrated in the churches. Lord, I pray those that are feeling the things of this life, God, the storms and the pain, God, we pray over their what they're maybe going through. We lift them up to you. We know within your hand, your healing hands, you can heal. If you choose not to, give us the strength to endure. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, you can reach out through me through email. If you're on my Facebook, you can send me a Facebook private message. If you're not on my Facebook, you can send me a message anyway. Just make sure you reference this website out. If you email me, make sure you put in the main subject heading there, Wake Up America Church Ministry. So if it goes to spam, I'll be able to cipher it out. If not, I won't be able to cipher it out, guys. I pray that you guys have a wonderful and blessed Christmas and be that light to this world. Bye.